Praise the Lord, dear listener. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You are once again welcome to Pentecost Hour, a religious broadcast sponsored by the Church of Pentecost General Headquarters. In this edition of Pentecost Hour, kindly join Apostle Eric Nyamiche, the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, as he speaks to the topic, the Virgin Birth. The Virgin Birth.
Hallelujah. Very grateful to have the platform and especially to share with you the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that some people hate Christmas? Some people, granting the opportunity, if they have a nation, they will scrap Christmas. Some people don't feel at ease with Christmas at all. It made them feel bad because they think that maybe they might have crucified the Messiah. Others too feel that Christmas is a burden. It has been commercialized. Even some Christians think that Christmas is not necessary. After all, Jesus was not born in December. But do we care whether he was born in September or December? So when you're a Christian, don't join that argument. You see, there is a battle over the nations, and some Christians are not aware. Even the celebration of Christ is part of the fight. And sometimes we want to do pre-Christmas convention so that during convention we say that we want to be at home with our family. This is what the European church did. And today their churches are closed. What is family? He didn't die for you, your wife, and your two children. He died for us. So we have to be very careful the way we make arguments into Christmas. You see, he never made any categorical statement that we should celebrate his birth. But somehow, he is the most celebrated person on earth. And we have to take advantage of that. That Christmas is universally celebrated, even more than the Easter. But somehow, we are thinking of the eating, the jumping. So around these times, some people, excuse me, like the musicians, even of the world, they are making money. People are chasing them. They are also jumping and singing. And those of us who have Christ and understand him, we want to be at home around this time. There's a battle over the nations. If you're a president and you want to bring back Christmas into the public place and you are not careful, you'll be impeached. You may think that all these things are happening for naught. They are happening because there's a battle over the nations. And it is against our Christ. It is time to be aware. And then let's get involved. That is why I wanted us to fill this service with songs about the deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'll be speaking or discussing the virgin birth. The virgin birth. I'll ask questions like whether you think the virgin birth is true and why was it necessary. I'll start from 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 16. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. We are talking about God's household, God's family. It is the church of the living God. So when we say Christ is born for us, he is born for the church. And the celebration should be done by the entire church, not about a certain group of people in the church. He is born for us. We are the family of God. We are God's household, the church of the living God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. When we are talking about the church, we are talking about the pillar and foundation of truth. There is no institution that holds the truth than the church. If you hold on to the truth, soon people will come from all over the world to the church asking us to teach them about the truth. It is the church that holds the truth. That is why I believe that we need to possess the nations. Because here, when you get the truth and you go out there with integrity, you need to change your world. There may not be anything truth at where you work because the world does not hold truth. But we have the truth. And it's not just truth. It is the pillar and foundation. It is built with real concrete. It is solid truth. But this is not what I want. My interest is in the next verse. Verse 16. Beyond all questions, the mystery for which true godliness springs is great. Beyond all questions, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, and was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. When we are talking about godliness, the mystery of godliness, he is not talking about the mystery of the Godhead, how difficult it is to break the Godhead and try to understand. He's not talking about the mystery of the person of Christ. But when we are saying the mystery of godliness, we are just talking about the fact that God is able to pick an unholy person from unholy world, make the person holy, place him back to the unholy world, and keep him holy. It's a mystery. Let me say that again. That God will pick unholy person from unholy world, make him holy, place him back into the unholy world, and keep that person holy. Paul says that this one is marvelous. It is wonderful. It is a job that his son Timothy was going to do. And he says that you have been entrusted with holy things of God, the mystery of God. So I want to tell you how to handle the church. I want to come to you quickly to tell you how to handle the church. But maybe I'll be delayed. So let me write you some of these things. So at least when I'm delayed, you know how to conduct yourself in the church of God. The church of God. He says that the mystery of godliness. But it begins somewhere. Let's look at the verse 16 again. Beyond all questions, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And then, look at how he continued. He appeared in the flesh. That is where the mystery of godliness begins. When God became man, it is a foundation of who you are and who I am. It is a foundation of the church. It is a foundation of our redemption that God came in the flesh. That is the base of the mystery of godliness. That is why some of us can dress like this and sing. Otherwise, maybe you would not have space in the church of God. You would have been in prison by now. It all began when God became flesh. See, the excitement that greeted this incarnation and the wonder that gladded it, his conception, his birth, and his dedication is incomparable. There was excitement, yet there was also wonder. We shall soon go into that one. You can't compare any other to it. It is truth, wonderful story ever told. The truth, but wonderful story ever told on it. Each year, make time and come around. And let's talk about this truth again. It is a wonderful story. It will never be depleted. Every day to be fresh for us. It is a foundation of who we are. And we need to really understand. Heavens paints up ecstasy. Broke loose when he was born. The angels sound glory be to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind. Those the Lord God has found favor with. See, the Bible says that his birth drew both the Gentiles and the Jews together to go and visit him. The shepherds, they were Jews. The magi were Gentiles. Up until his birth, these two people, they never see eye to eye with each other. They were enemies. But whilst he was revealing himself to the shepherds, at the same time, he went to the east and revealed himself to the magi. And both the Jews came to him. The Gentiles also came to him. That is a mystery. To a small boy born in a manger. Wonderful, but true story. It was because of his coming that a woman who had been labeled barren because she was old and overaged, and because of her public life as a wife of a priest, people knew her and they called her barren. They've written her off that she can't give birth. After all, she's so aged, but this time she's barren because of Christ. That woman had to conceive. You see, it is because of his birth and his conception and his dedication, just by the conception, the mother greeted, and babies in wombs leaps for joy. Zachariah said, his birth means God has visited the earth. Simon said that this Simon man, an old man, his death was suspended until he saw the salvation of God. Can you imagine that? That God goes to this holy man and say that, you see, you will not die until you see Israel's Savior. And then when they brought him to the temple, the Spirit of God moves this old man to the temple. Can you imagine that you have brought your child here to be dedicated? Just as you are about to hand over your baby to the pastor for dedication, an old man from somewhere picks the boy. Say, now, Lord, let me depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. The mother will stand somewhere and watch. What is this boy? And he didn't end there. He didn't just call him your salvation. He says that he's going to determine the rise and the fall of many. And because of him, the thoughts of many, including Herod, will be revealed. And then he says that he is going to be the glory of Israel and the light to the Gentiles. Then he turned to the mother and said that, you woman, because of this boy, arrows will pierce your heart. The woman will stand, watch this old man talk. Because the mystery concerning this boy, the woman is well aware. So when people are talking about the boy, the woman is saying, hey, what manner of child was he? Let's go to Matthew chapter 1.
Matthew chapter 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Aminadab. Aminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam the father of Abijah. Abijah the father of Asa.
Now jump to verse 15.
Elihud the father of Eliza. Eliza the father of Matthan. Matthan the father of Jacob.
Now, let us all read verse 16 together. He will lead us to read, but ready, go.
And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and who is called Christ.
You see, he couldn't read. Yeah. I suspected that it's not his fault. Because if you follow the father of the father of the father of, once you read, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. You see the confusion here? The thing should have been straightforward. Instead of saying Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, those days, they didn't put much premium on women. They didn't believe that women gave birth and that this one should be the father of. We are talking about the father of, now we are going to talk about a mother. What is the problem? So read again.
Matthew 1:16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph.
Yes.
The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Yeah. And Jacob, the father of Joseph. It has followed the order, the father of the father of. Then say, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So there's something missing here. It should have been, and Jacob the father of Joseph, and what? And Joseph the father of Jesus. Simple. Just to follow the order. But when he got to verse 16, he says that, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It compelled Matthew to move on and then try to explain what is happening in verse 16. So, verse 18 reads like this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Have you heard this thing before? Also, do you believe this? Let's say you are married to your wife. Eh? The Osofo blessed it yesterday. He went home and your wife said that, I'm pregnant. Ah, why? And you are sure, that you have stayed away from her. Say, I'm pregnant. You say, who did it? He said, the Holy Spirit. Will you believe it? Osofo, will you believe it? Because I heard you say, Amen. I said, will you believe that one? This thing is a bizarre story. You see, he's just trying to explain. So the Bible says, because he was a righteous man, he was contemplating divorcing the wife quietly because it was difficult to believe. Let's move to verse 19. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But you see, between I'm pregnant with the Holy Spirit, with a baby by the Holy Spirit, and divorce quietly, Luke decided to supply the missing link. Let's go and listen to Luke from chapter 1. Then I'll start from verse 30 for the sake of time. Let's say 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. So Mary was a virgin. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And now, Mary had to ask a legitimate question. Verse 34. Can we read together? How would this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. Is this a legitimate question? The answer to this question is a virgin birth. Let's listen to what the angel said. 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So the one that you are going to conceive, the one to be born, is going to be God's own child. That is the explanation of this. You see, but it is difficult to tell a human being that your child is God's own child and that you don't know a man, yet you conceive. Because where we live, these things do not happen. It is impossible. So the angel now had to move on. 36. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. This is just to relax her a bit. That what I'm telling you is difficult. I know it is impossible. But you see, Mary knew Elizabeth, and she agreed with the angel that she is labeled barren. See, I'm praying that because of Christ, anything that you have labeled impossible, remove that label. Remove the label. So Mary heard this one. But the angel will not stop here. Verse 37. Let's read that one. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, the explanation of this is this. I understand you. This is impossible in this realm where you people live. But where I come from, this one is not a problem. That is what the angel is trying to say. Then let's listen to Mary, her humble submission to this difficult saying. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left, and then that was it. That was it. Once she accepted this and she confessed it, she was pregnant. And the angel said that the son that you are going to give birth to, he is going to be God's son. So let's move on with the story. Wonderful, beautiful story. So then Matthew comes back again, and he says that the man was contemplating letting this woman go. But because he was a righteous man, he wanted to do it discreetly. So one night, an angel of God spoke to Joseph. Said, Joseph, don't drive your wife away. It is true that she is pregnant, but the pregnancy is of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I just thank God for Joseph, because the way he was able to believe this one is something else. He also believed. Let's listen to Matthew again. Matthew 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Hallelujah. See, the name Jesus was a historic common name. It was everyday name. The Jews in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew for Jesus, is Joshua. They tend to name children Jesus or Joshua just to remind themselves that God will bring a Messiah. So they named these boys in anticipation of God's deliverance or redemption of Israel. They were expecting God to bring a Messiah who will come and purify them and take them out from oppression. But this time the angel is saying that He's going to be Jesus. They understand that name. It was a common name. Colossians 4, verse 11. Colossians 4, verse 11. Are you ready to read with me? Ready, you go. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. So Jesus was a common name. So there was another man, Jesus. Even today, people are called Jesus. And so Jesus was a common name. But they gave it to sons because they were expecting that the Messiah would come. So when the angel said, you call his name Jesus, the parents understood what he was trying to talk about. And so they gave him the name Jesus. But this time, he is not the one that they were going to expect to bring them out of oppression. But the angel said, he will save his people from their sins. That is the difference here. Why is the prophecy in Isaiah important in this narrative? Why is the virgin birth very important? Because Matthew is saying that this was to fulfill what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. This one was prophesied about 700 years before Jesus was born. Why is it important in this narrative? Why is Matthew linking it to this? Is the story of the virgin birth true?
Well, thank God so much for men like this in this our time. Christ did not die for the family only, but the whole world, and must be universally celebrated. The family, and for that matter, the household of God, is the foundation and pillar of truth, solidly built. God is able to pick an unholy person from an unholy world, make them holy, and place them back in the unholy world to transform the world to become holy. The basis of the mystery is when God became flesh in the person of Christ, reconciling the entire world to God. It is a wonderful true story, reconciling Jews and Gentiles. Beloved, these were some of the highlights of the words of Apostle Eric Nyameche. Once again, if you have listened to us, I would like to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. Kindly say these words after me. Dear God, thank you for my life. I understand and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die on the cross for my sins and wrongdoings. And he resurrected on the third day for my justification. I therefore accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will follow him all the days of my life. So help me, God. The Lord has always been your helper. Thank you very much and God bless you. You may reach us on WhatsApp or call 020-173-1136. I repeat, 020-173-1136. May the Lord bless and keep you. Bye-bye.
For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing to the Ancient of Days, your kingdom.